This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Very good. Bismillah. As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah rabbil alameen, sallallahu wa sallam, baraka nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam, taslimin kathira, thumma ma ba'd. So, quick question on the subject that we discussed so far from the book of Imam Ibn Qudamah rahimahullah and also Ibn Rajab. Question number one here, charging for Islamic knowledge. Is charging for Islamic knowledge okay, or is it considered pursuing the world? Also, if someone does that, do they still get reward in Jannah? Now, I think we covered a little bit briefly on the subject over here. We said that, look, in the past, the ulama and the Islamic teachers, Muslim teachers and so on, they were covered by awqaf. So their money doesn't come from individuals. It comes from entities such as awqaf. So therefore, they're, alhamdulillah, saved from this kind of, you know, kind of dilemma that we're dealing with today. But today, if a teacher, for example, wants to give a class in knowledge, for instance, is he allowed or she's allowed to charge people for that? It's different. Obviously, we always said that the standard, it's always better to make yourself and keep yourself free from any wants or needs from your students. Otherwise, that kind of obligation makes you compromise the haiba of ilm and even probably maybe the validity of that knowledge when it comes to being delivered. So therefore, it's better to stay away from that. But we have a different standard of teaching, for example. So we have classrooms, you have logistics that need to be covered and taken care of and paid for and all that stuff and so on. And if we are not going to be charging the students to pay for these things, because we don't have the awqaf to take care of that, then probably we're not going to be able to deliver the knowledge as it should be. So therefore, again, it goes depends on the circumstances and depends on the culture of that time. But for the question, meaning if I charge people, that would that be considered pursuing the dunya? The answer is yes. But is this haram to pursue the dunya? Not necessarily. Not everything for matters of dunya is considered haram. It's obviously, it would reduce probably from the amount of reward when you give it this completely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but it doesn't mean it's haram. Even during Hajj, which is supposed to be purely and completely for the sake of Allah azza wa jal, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, on Arafah, laysa alaykum junahun an tabtagu fadla min rabbikum. There is no harm on you if you seek the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which means it's okay to trade and sell and do business, even in Arafah. But the more you keep it, of course, purely spiritual, the more reward you get for it, inshallah ta'ala. Can you criticize a teacher of knowledge even if your knowledge is limited? Or you answered yourself. If your knowledge is limited, stay quiet. Because probably you don't know what you're talking about. What if what you're trying to criticize is way beyond your level, يعني, subhanAllah. Besides, Ibn Asakir, rahmatullah ta'ala, he says, قال, لحوم العلماء مسمومة. وآيات الله تعالى في منتهيكهم معلومة. The flesh of the ulama is poisonous. And those who dare to pray on their flesh, the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for them in the dunya and the akhirah is very well known. Like Allah will make example of them. But what he means by that, he goes, like, if you're going to try to backbite the ulama and speak bad about them without proper knowledge and so on, be careful. You're poisoning yourself with that. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the ulama to be the carriers of the sacred knowledge. And if they deserve it, and you're going to violate that, then you're endangering yourself. But for the ulama among themselves, they are allowed to talk about, you know, other ulama. Obviously, some of it is right, and some of it is for the legitimate reasons, such as al-jarh wa al-ta'dil. The ulama in the past used to criticize this person for their character, this person for their level of memorization, and so on. And others, unfortunately, it becomes just jealousy and competition. That is the wrong thing. That's the haram thing. Wallahu a'lam. Na'am. Is it true that 1% to 2% alcohol is permissible to drink since you can't get drunk from it at all? Well, I haven't tried that, Ajman. If someone already tried that 1% and said, Allah, I was okay, alhamdulillah. I was able to focus and drive and I don't know about that. But I think that the reference is probably when it comes to some drinks, sometimes they say less than 1%, for example, alcohol in it. Are you allowed to consume that or not? There's a difference between added alcohol to it versus naturally occurring alcohol. Now, even in fruits, even in juices, for example. If you leave, let's say, orange juice, or if you leave a specific grape juice, for example. If you leave it a few days outside, you know, the fridge, what's going to happen to it? It's going to start good fermented, and eventually it's going to start becoming alcoholic, and eventually becomes intoxicant. Before the stage of intoxication, it's okay to drink it. There is natural a percentage of alcohol already in that drink, already in there. So if you drink it in that state before it becomes, you know, intoxicant, it's halal. And that's the issue of shubuhat that we were talking about, the kombucha, for example. Kombucha, for example, has a percentage of alcohol in it. But if drinking it doesn't cause it to go drunk, or even buzzed at least, then you're fine. But if drinking kombucha is going to make you start speaking French, that means you're way out there. Yani, stay away from it. Type, could one work for DoorDash delivering haram food? We are going to cover that next week, inshallah, tabaraka wa ta'ala. It depends really about the amount of haram element in it. And again, the ulama, they have different positions on the matter. When buying food at a grocery store, I was buying cheddar cheese at the grocery store, and then my roommate who was with me asked whether it's halal or not. And then they start searching on the ingredients. I found that quite dangerous because this makes it extremely difficult to go through life. I mean, what ingredients are you looking for in a cheese? I don't know. And what is it exactly? What are you looking for? Besides the enzymes and the renin and all of that stuff, what else are we looking for in terms of ingredients? Gelatin or something in cheese? Or are we talking about, does it have jalapeno or otherwise? I think we're talking about the enzymes, right? Here's the standard rule about cheese. At the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, at the time of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, they ate cheese from the Majus, from the Persians, who were not even from the people of the book, and they never encountered, they never asked if the source of the enzyme was zabiha or not. So our ulama from the past, they keep saying cheese is okay, nothing wrong with that. Our problem today, when added enzymes, that's a different argument. Yeah, we're going to probably talk about it next time, inshallah, tabaraka wa ta'ala, because we need to, first of all, to identify what level of shubuha or doubtful matters, ambiguous matters, are we allowed to partake in, whether it's actually consuming it or otherwise. So that discussion is going to leave it for next week, inshallah ta'ala. But overall, cheese is okay. You can eat it, inshallah ta'ala. Oh, here's a direct question. In your opinion, is kombucha halal or haram? Enjoy it. Subhanakallah wa bihamdik. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.